Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, hey, tell me what the hell is
it's
going
the Rusty
on?
Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Follow Rick on Twitter at Ricky Redding or read his blog at LouisvilleKY.com. Today's guests are Steve Fader from the Catholic Sports Network and the bourbon professor Bernie Lovers. Now, here's Rick.
Boy, we've got a great show here this time. This is our fourth show. And my name is Rick Redding. I'm your host on the show and sort of the guy who puts this together on Louisville.am. I hope you're downloading this podcast and listening and telling your friends and all that. You can reach me. I have certainly am visible on Facebook, on Twitter at Ricky Redding. And you can email me at rustysatellite@gmail.com. So we're off and running. I'm really excited about our guest this week. Steve Fader, 2.5 years ago, started the Catholic Sports Network. And if you thought maybe this town had enough sports or didn't think there might be room for another sports media entity, well, you were wrong, because this Catholic Sports Network has become quite a big deal. With Billy Reed as the executive editor, a longtime well-noted sports writer, and Steve came out of the radio business and has really done a outstanding job of building a great company. My other guest is Bernie Lubbers, who you know, he has the job I want. He's known as the whiskey professor. He's the an ambassador for Heaven Hill Distilleries, and he's a very entertaining guy. He spent 20 years traveling the country as a stand-up comedian. So we'll get to those, our guests here in just a minute. Boy, I've had a busy week. I went to the Breakfast of Champions on Monday of this week. Mayor Greg Fisher was the guest, and I'm going to talk about his Vision Louisville project after our first guest. And, you know, on Tuesday I went to the Business First What's Brewing Breakfast. It featured three well-known local chefs, John Veronese of Veronese Restaurant, Susan Seiler, whose new restaurant, Relish, is down there near Waterfront Park, and, of course, Chef Edward Lee, who is operating Milkwood down there at Actors Theater and also 610 Magnolia. So they had a lot to say. It was a very interesting talk and interesting to see what is going on with the restaurant industry. But first up on the Rusty Satellite Show, I'm going to introduce Steve Fader, who is the Catholic Sports Network chief. He started the whole company 2.5 years ago. They've got a nice office out there in the Summit. I stopped by there the other day and talked with Steve for the show. And here's our interview. I'm here with Steve Fader, the president, CEO of Catholic Sports Network, which, if you haven't heard of, is doing quite a lot of business here in our community. And we've got a lot going on involving Catholic sports. Catholic sports in general is a big part of the Louisville community. And Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now, tell me, because I know that Catholic Sports Network is fairly new on the scene. You have a long career in radio, but it basically started your own business a few years back. Tell us how that came about.
Well, it's a story I've told many, many times, so I'll try to be as succinct as possible. But for many years, I traveled across the United States helping to operate a large private small to mid-sized market broadcasting company. And after 1.3 million miles, I started to reevaluate in my future and the effect it was having on the family. But during that time period, I would sit on the tarmac waiting for the plane to take off, and I'd be reading the USA Today newspaper. I'd go back to the sports section, and I'd look at the rankings of high schools, and inevitably I'd be going through the rankings, killing time, and I'd be seeing out of the 25 schools across the country that they ranked, half of them were typically Catholic schools. So I'd be going down the list of Trinity, St. X, DeMatha, Mater Dei. And I just found that to be really interesting, whether it was in football or the powers up in the Northeast and in baseball, and knowing that there were a lot less Catholic schools than public schools, I said, this is really interesting. So we looked into see if there was any resource, central resource for Catholic school programs, and there was not one.
And we, if I just interrupt it, here in Louisville, you know, I grew up here. You know the sports scene here. It seems like, you know, the Catholic teams are very prominent here, and I guess that is true around the country. But is it more so here in Louisville, or how does Louisville rank?
Well, Louisville is a great Catholic community with a great Catholic sports tradition, but it's not unlike a lot of other communities. If you go up the river to Cincinnati, go up the state of Ohio up into Cleveland, you move over to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, up in the Northeast, and even into the Midwest of Chicago, Milwaukee, and St. Louis. So there are a lot of markets like Louisville, a lot of bigger markets than Louisville that have great Catholic sports traditions. So it's not just Louisville.
Okay. So at what point, tell me when you made the decision, you stopped working in radio and you said, we're going to make this Catholic sport thing work.
Yeah, so I made a decision to retire and do another entrepreneurial venture. And I had a bucket list of ideas, which I thought they were all good. But the one that kept coming to the top was Louisville Catholic Sports, or I should say Catholic Sports. So what we wanted to do is start a national network. And we said, if we're going to start it in a market, it should be Louisville because it's a great Catholic community. And that's what we did about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. And very quickly, it's become quite a phenomenon. Now there's a website. There's it reaches a lot of different types of media, correct? Give me a quick rundown of what all is included.
Yeah, real quick. We started out, launched 2 weeks before Trinity St. X game with the LouisvilleCatholicSports.com that now has 175,000 plus unique visitors in and out of the site. From there, Billy Reed came on as our executive editor. He introduced me to Scott Wiegandt, athletic director at Bellarmine University. So we picked up men's basketball right after they won the national championship. From there, we picked up, started a relationship with Scotty Davenport. And we now produce 20 shows, TV shows a year for Scotty, handle all of his marketing and endorsements. Then we picked up the rights to the Catholic School Athletic Association and all their championship events for 30-plus grade schools in the area. We do 3 print publications.
Now, the rights to that, let me stop you right there. Are we talking, when you say the rights, radio, TV?
We have all of the radio, TV, all of the broadcast rights, all of the marketing rights. So we sell sponsorships for all those grade school championship events.
And they're on the air. I think what's going to be a surprise to our listeners is that 8th graders playing football is being broadcast in our community.
Yeah, we broadcast an event called the Toy Bowl, which is the 65th year. This is an incredible tradition, probably one of the greatest heritage sporting events in town, and 10,000 people will come out and watch 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th graders play football on a weekend at Trinity and St. X. So we have the marketing rights to that. We broadcast it on radio, and we stream it live.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. You know, it all goes back. You know, I just wanted to get this in while I'm here. I've never, you know, I'm a public school kid and played for Iroquois, and Iroquois doesn't even play St. X or Trinity anymore. But I will say at one point we were ahead at halftime.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
So that was good. But now it seems like Trinity and St. X in football, they don't even half their schedule is not against local schools, right?
Well,
go out of state.
That's right, and that's for a number of reasons. But you know, Trinity has really pushed to grow the relationship with other schools in the region, and now most of their schedule is dominated by schools in Ohio, Indiana, and Tennessee. So they have one of the toughest schedules in the United States year after year. And next year, they've got some big announcements that they'll be making where they'll be playing even stronger schools further away. But the reality of it is that while we cover Catholic sports, when Trinity plays Ballard or St. X plays Manual, et cetera, the reality of it is that the coverage that we give those games is more in-depth on a regular basis than any other medium here, including the Courier-Journal. So we have non-Catholics who come to the site or come to visit what we're doing because the coverage that we have, that the other mediums don't do or they just can't do.
Right. And it's very specialized coverage, and which brings us to, I was kind of leading into the big announcement, what's new this year, and I know you're excited about the coming football season for a special reason, so tell us about that.
Right. Well, you know, look, just in our stable, we have Bellarmine, we have all of the Catholic School Athletic Association, we have great relationships with all the schools, we have Scotty Davenport, some great names, but we've just added Trinity High School to our stable of products, and we are now the exclusive, we have exclusive rights to broadcast and sell Trinity football for this season. We're excited about it. Now, with that said, we're still going to cover all of the other schools, just like we always have, and provide a great coverage for all the fans. But we're excited.
Right, but this is live radio broadcast.
This is live
right?
radio broadcast.
Okay, no TV yet?
No TV yet, okay. But what this does, I think this just gives us an opportunity to continue to show what we can do to showcase the talent that we have as far as producing a great product.
Okay, and now I'm familiar with, I know St. X Games have been broadcast, have a radio network, have had for several years. So is this the first time Trinity's had a equivalent type of network, or is it, how is it different?
Yeah, Trinity has always done and produced, where they've always produced their own broadcast and marketed and sold them themselves. Okay. And this is the first time that they've gone outside to bring in an outside vendor, of which we were chosen to do that. And we're very thankful for it and very flattered by that.
So their games are going to be on what station this
year? They'll be on 970 AM like they have been. And in fairness to St. X, St. X uses an outside company to produce theirs, and they've done an excellent job over the years. So, look, we're taking over a very good product, an on-air product right now. We hope to improve it a little bit, bring in some new advertisers and marketers who want to reach that audience. And we're going to do, to and with Trinity, what we've done with Bellarmine. So we've been able to take up the quality of it just a little bit. But Trinity has a great broadcast right now, so we're really excited to be working
okay.
with that
and
team.
Is this just the games, or are there other there's not a high school coaches show in the world?
These are just the games, but we also have, so we have all the football games, including the preseason scrimmage, and then we have the Trinity St. X basketball game. But what this ultimately will do, if we do a really good job and we meet the expectations of Trinity, which are high, this will allow us to grow our relationship with Trinity and continue to build upon another great product in the stable of the Catholic Sports Network.
Okay. Very good. Well, it sounds very exciting. Now your organization is also has another arm I want to talk to about very briefly, because it's near and dear to my heart. You promote individual athletes and coaches.
That's right. We have a small division that's growing, and it's called TEAM, Talent, Endorsement, and Marketing. And we have, for example, we work with Scotty Davenport. We handle all his marketing and endorsements. Every time you see Scotty, that's a result of us. But the reality of it is that we've picked up about a year and a half ago, a little over a year, a young man who has a tremendous future and could be one of the greatest athletes to ever come out of Louisville, and that's Ben Rhodes. Who will be a junior at Holy Cross, 16, and he is an up-and-coming future star for NASCAR. In fact, as many of you know, he was named a next future star for NASCAR. So we represent Ben. We've been able to get him some sponsors and get him some great visibility, and we're excited about the future for Ben.
Well, that sounds great. Of course, you know, as some of our listeners know, I work closely with Ben as well, and that's sort of how we got together. And it's really been a great partnership, and I think the future is bright for Ben, for Scotty Davenport, who, you know, I went to Iroquois High School with, and all of your products there. I still, every year when Trinity St. X game comes around, people ask me who I think's going to win. I say, I hope they both lose. But it never happens. You know, my bias against Catholic schools is waning, I think. But Steve, I'm really impressed with your organization here, and look forward to hearing about, you know, more news. It's great to see a homegrown media company started from scratch. And now tell us just lastly, before we let you go, how many people are involved here? And you've got this, you know, beautiful office here out in near the summit, and it just seems like the growth possible is limitless.
Yeah, you know, we had humble beginnings, and it was an idea and a concept that has just taken off, and we've been blessed. We have a great team. Billy Reed is our senior, executive editor for the company. And then we have a full-time staff that works on the content side, producing this great content that we have. We have a video team, photography team, and a great sales staff. We have full production studios downstairs. So, you know, we can do what most major mediums in the area can do in regards to production. We are out there hustling. We're working hard. We're proud to be in Louisville, proud to start this company in Louisville. It's a great community to start a business in, and obviously a great sports community, and that's helped drive our success.
You know, I got to say that I really admire the successful business that Steve has started out there with Catholic Sports Network, despite the fact that, you know, I'm a public school kid and grew up really not liking St. X and Trinity. My teams could never beat them in football back at Iroquois, back in the day, so to speak. And then my son Josh played for Manuel, and they lost to St. X 5 times in 2 years. So, you know, it's hard to argue with success, and the people that follow and watch Catholic sports in Louisville, you know, they're really showing their support in a big way. So, well, on to the next part of the show. And, you know, I've been spending a lot of time downtown this week involved with a trade show down at the Galt House. And I love the Galt House. I will say that it just doesn't make any sense to me that this big hotel in our fine city has a hotel that really doesn't make internet service available very easily. If you're in the Galt House doing a trade show, your phone barely works, and all that. So that's enough complaining about the Galt House. But downtown, as you know, is a big part of what Mayor Fisher is doing with his Vision Louisville project. And there is a website, visionlouisville.com. And I was fortunate enough at the Breakfast Champion to hear about a 25-minute speech from Mayor Fisher. Got a chance to speak with him privately for a few minutes. And, you know, he's really coming up with some tremendous ideas here with Vision Louisville. Mayor Fisher talked a lot about the local option sales tax and how important it was for our city to move ahead, to get projects done. You know, he mentioned how much the park system cost. He mentioned a figure like $105 million or so, that was like a certain period of time with this local option sales tax that he is pushing to have passed in Frankfort so that we can vote as citizens of Louisville. We can vote to have this local option sales tax for specific projects. So say we wanted to build, for example, if we wanted to complete a part of the Louisville Loop, the bike lane around the city, we needed the money to do it. Or if we wanted to build a new library, it could be put a vote to the citizen, voted on by the citizens. And in order to make his case, you know, the mayor pointed out cities like Oklahoma City, which, you know, in the middle of the country, doesn't seem to have much going for it, but they have an NBA team, believe it or not, in a nice arena. And a lot of the projects that have taken place there have been done with local option sales tax. So it's a big initiative for city government. And, you know, I think at least getting it, nobody likes new taxes, of course, but getting it to the point of having the city be able to put this to a vote, put certain projects to a vote, I think is a move in the right direction. And, you know, at the point that it comes, you know, it's very rare for citizens to vote to tax themselves, but at least it would give the city and people behind certain projects an opportunity to make their case to the general public. But most people remember the last time in this city is about 2008, I think, that the city voted down a library tax advocated back then by Mayor Abramson and a lot of the big shots in the city. And, you know, the citizens resoundingly said no, despite, you know, how great it sounds to have a nice library system. So, The other thing we did at the Breakfast of Champions, Mayor Fisher had each of our table. We had about 80 people there. Each table put forth some ideas, their big idea. And like I said, if you want to see some big ideas for Louisville, you can go to visionlouisville.com. There are some great ideas for improving our city. And, you know, if just some of these got adopted, that would be great. In our little group at the University Club this week, we talked to one group talked about the revitalization of the city west of 9th Street as a priority and having more mid-priced housing in the waterfront. Another idea was to create a high-tech office park with biotechnology, to have smaller buses that run more frequently. A lot of ideas revolve around transit. You know, one group wanted to make Louisville the water capital of the world. And, you know, we have this great business, Waterstep, right here in the city that does work all over the world. We had ideas for more trees and more bike lanes, historic preservation. One group thought it'd be a good idea to turn Union Station down there at 9th and Broadway into a hotel. So there are plenty of good ideas. A couple of them on the website we have a big initiative on education here, and we want to double the number of enrolled students at both U of L and Bellarmine. That's quite a lofty goal. More of a goal, I guess, for those universities. Anyway, you should take a look at that site and see if you agree with some of the ideas that are being put forth. It is a strong initiative, and I think each of the ideas that you see on the website with our group, there's another story on insiderlouisville.com about this Vision Louisville project. So it's being talked about a lot. You ought to get yourself informed about what's going on there. But speaking of downtown, if you've been down there, you know that something that I'm on record for at least the last 5 or 6 years, people have been asking me if when I think the bridges are going to be built. And I've always said I won't see them in my lifetime. But guess what? They're building them. They're closing down a ramp on the in Spaghetti Junction this week. Lanes have been reduced. There's a lot of preparation work being done for the downtown bridge. And it's going to be a headache for a lot of people for a while. Specifically, the Kennedy Bridge has been reduced from 3 lanes to 2 at some hours. They permanently closed the ramp from I-64 east to I-65 south. Well, not permanently, but at least for the next 3 years. So downtown Louisville is basically going to be a mess for a little while. And, if you don't like traffic, you can do what I do and just don't go to Indiana. That's my solution to this issue. But I know that's not the right civic thing to do. You know, there's a lot of good things over in Indiana. I just rarely find a reason to go over there. So anyway, that's sort of a couple of things that are going on in the city. Now, every week I sort of do something on what's going on in culture, and that's not always related to our fair city. But there is one story that I'd just like to tell you about real quickly. There was Terry Boyd of Insider Louisville told me about this story that the Kentucky Shakespeare organization, its director has resigned, and it's kind of a weird story because they stopped a production in mid-season, and it had to do with published reports are always okay, let's start again. Kentucky Shakespeare Theater canceled its 12th night run for Shakespeare in the Park recently, just this week. And the reason given are, quote, unusual circumstances. and, quote, personal issues. So if that doesn't get you thinking that something a little funny is going on, you know, that's almost like code in the news media. A guy named Brantley Dunaway has been the program's producing artistic director since 2010, and his resignation has caused the cancellation of that show. But speaking of culture, I thought I'd talk a little bit about television today. This week was the premiere of the second season of The Newsroom, which is just an outstanding drama. Of course, I like it a lot because I'm into the news and the media, and this show is well produced. It's sort of an idealistic version of what we'd like for cable networks to be about, and how we'd like for them to report the news. You know, the main character, Will McAvoy, is highly principled. And all the people that work in the newsroom, you know, are there for the right reason. They want to deliver the news in a way that, you know, people that watch it will think it's important. And they're in a fight for ratings, et cetera. And, the premiere of the second season, there's a sort of a mystery that is going to play out through the year. But they've obviously... something has happened. The network aired a story that got them in trouble, and all the cast members are being interviewed by lawyers. One thing happened last year. The in the series revolved around how much the real news people didn't want to cover the Casey Anthony case because they really felt it was beneath them. It was sort of tabloid news, and it really got to me because there's so many stories in the news that I think get overcovered. And prime example, and this is going to be like one news podcast that is not going to go on and on about the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin trial, except to say I think the media really overdid it with that story. And the conclusion, you know, you have to understand that race is a big issue in our world, and any crimes that involve one race murdering another, a member of another race, is going to get some attention and is going to get over coverage in the news media. So every cable network, every local station, every radio station I turn on, I was even surprised to see a guy I really admire, Joe Elliott, has a show in the mornings on 970. I've been a guest on that show before, but I turned it on twice this week, and they were talking about this case. So, you know, I'm just not going to get into that. You know, there are certain stories I just don't want to talk about it. But back to TV. Now, the newsroom is starting up. And I'm looking forward to tuning in every week to see what happens with the characters in the newsroom. It tells me that one of the ways TV has changed a lot in the last, you know, 5-10 years is all the really good programs, original dramas and comedies seem to be on cable these days. You know, in addition to the newsroom, we're in the middle of a season on Showtime with Dexter. And I love Dexter, you know, a serial killer you know, the current season revolves around Dexter's sister, who is an actress who is actually from Louisville, went to Sacred Heart High School, as I understand it. I'm kind of looking up her name, but let's just think about what the popular shows are that we watch these days. At least for me, there's nothing on network TV that I'm really interested in. There are no reality shows that I'm going to sit down and watch. I'm just not going to do it. Plus, you got to watch commercials. So you know, if you're fortunate enough to have HBO and Showtime, that's really the way to watch TV these days. And it reminded me to make a list of, you know, the shows in the last few years that that I've found to be the most compelling, the most interesting, the sort of shows that I have to watch. You know, on HBO, there was Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. It's probably the funniest show, even beyond Seinfeld. Of course, it involves a Seinfeld creator, Larry David. My list includes the show Weeds, which is, you know, about a suburban mom who, you know, makes her money selling marijuana. And that series ended last year, but it had a great long run. Another of my favorites is Californication, because it's about a writer. And, you know, I like stories about writers. David Duchovny is the star of Californication. It's great. And probably the other favorite show that I mentioned was actually on FX, but it's based on the work of one of my favorite crime writers, Elmore Leonard. It's called Justified, and Timothy Oliphant is the star. And I like it. It's set in Kentucky, and it reveals a lot of stereotypes about what goes on in Eastern Kentucky involving drugs and, you know, some of the unsavory things that we're not really proud of around here, but that are kind of fun to watch on the big screen. So anyway, there's a list of a handful of shows that I really think are some of the top TV being done these days. And none of them are produced by any of the main networks. I really don't have a show that I watch on any of the main networks. And that's just the way I think way things are moving. There's a lot of entertainment choices, and it's just the main three networks are appealing. I think a lot of times the lowest common denominator with all the reality shows and the lame comedies and just, it's just not stuff I want to watch. So anyway, that's going to conclude my little segment for the week. I'm very excited about my next guest. It's Bernie Lubbers, who has a great job. He is known as the Whiskey Professor. I got a chance to catch a show that he's done down at the Haymarket Whiskey Bar a few months ago. It combines bluegrass music and storytelling and comedy and you know, I talk about it a little bit in the interview, but anyway, here is my talk. I went down to the Heaven Hill headquarters in St. Matthews and went to an interesting spot. And you can catch a picture of Bernie on my website, LouisvilleKY.com, by the time this podcast comes out. There'll be a picture of him and also one of Steve Fader there. But right now, let's go to my interview with Bernie Lubbers. My guest here has got a job that I think everybody wants to have. He's known as the Whiskey Professor. It's Bernie Lubbers. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
So how do you get to be known as the Whiskey Professor?
Well, it doesn't hurt to be the ambassador for North American whiskey for the second largest bourbon company in the world, and probably the number one maker of American whiskeys in the world. So
how do I get that job?
Well, I've got to retire or die or something. And I'm always asked that question, you know, and if I would have gone after this job, I probably wouldn't have gotten it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those jobs that kind of comes your way or you create inside the industry or whatever. So, and you know, there's ambassadors for Scotch whiskey and Irish whiskey for years and years and years. The explosion of those, especially single malt Scotch. And bourbon, in its last rise in the last 8 or 10 years, has seen the need for people like myself. So I happened to be working at Jim Beam at the time and cut my teeth there. And then there was a need here at Heaven Hill, and they came after me. And they asked me if I would come over here, and I've been here almost a year now.
Okay, well, it's great. And as you know, I've seen your performance show that you do, and I'll ask you about that in a second.
Sure.
But you... a lot of people that know your name know you as being a comedian. So,
right.
So tell me about your first career, I guess, or how you go from being a comedian to a whiskey ambassador.
Well, it gets even better than that. After I graduated from UK, I was a banking officer at Republic Bank and Trust Company for 2.5 years. And then I made the normal logical leap to stand-up comedy from there. And then I became a whiskey professor. So it's just, like I said, you know, I grew up and liking comedy, watching the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson, listening to Bill Cosby records and George Carlin records, Flip Wilson records, things like that. And it always intrigued me, and I was there when the boom was just starting in the early.
And made a living in stand-up. How long did you do that?
20 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. 1985 till I did this job in 2005-2006. So, yeah, I traveled to 160 cities around the country. I was a regular on the Bob and Tom Show. You'll still hear my songs on the Bob and Tom Show, and that's played to 6 million people a day. So,
right.
Kind of neat.
Well, it is very cool, and I hope some of our listeners remember you as a comedian. But I tell you what, if I could recommend any one thing, it's a few months ago I was privileged to go to a show that you put on with
Hickory Vought.
It's sort of a music information about bourbon show. And just tell me a little bit about that and how if people can go see it.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. It was that's an awesome night in my – we call him Hickory. Hickory he's a great acclaimed bluegrass musician, and he's been down at the Marriott Hotel every Thursday night with a show called Bourbon and Bluegrass. So for 8 years he's been down there. I've always included in him because nothing goes with bourbon better than bluegrass music, and when people come in visiting all the distilleries on the trail here, they kind of expect to hear in bluegrass music, and there's not a ton of it around, unfortunately. And Hickory's my go-to guy. And then I came up with this show. When I came over to Heaven Hill, I found these great array of American whiskeys that I've never been able to play with before. And I found that we have whiskeys like people drank in the style in the 1700s, in the early 1800s, and all the way up to present day. So we kind of combine the two things, and we tell the story of bourbon whiskey as told through bluegrass music, and so it's a nice little dovetail, the show's evolving too. You saw it, it probably will look so much different 6 months from now, but it'll be played for, and we'll be hopefully hired by people to come in who's visiting the Bourbon Trail, different groups, the companies bring their groups in, things like that, so it'll be a lot of private shows, but keep an eye out down at Haymarket Whiskey Bar. They're on Market Street, and it's right there next to the Residence Inn between Floyd and Preston. And that's our home base. And so we're going to do a lot of working it out shows, kind of friends and family shows there.
And of course, the best thing about it is you get to drink bourbon while it's going on.
Right.
And now, when you do, I know it's not a regular every Wednesday thing or anything like that. When you do shows, how can people find out about them?
You can find out on my Facebook. I'm Bernie Lovers on Facebook or Bernie Lovers on Twitter. And I also have a website called whiskeyprof.com, like whiskey professor, whiskey with an E, and prof.com.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, let's switch over and talk about some things that are just going on. And I think, to me, it seems like all this, what I would call a renaissance in interest in bourbon, especially in Louisville. And, we had the announcement last week about Angel's Envy going in down there. So we have a distillery right there on Main Street in Louisville.
Sure. And another one on 10th and Main, the guy and his son just bought.
That's right. Yeah. And I mean, it's just everybody. There couldn't be an industry, I think, that would bring more smiles to people's faces than saying, well, we've got all this bourbon going on in Louisville. Tell me about some of those projects that you're aware of and if you're involved in any of them and just what you think about all this excitement about bourbon all of
a
sudden.
Sure. Well, you heard about the Angel's Envy. Michter's, they announced they were going to go in down there about 8th. They have some problems that are building down there. They still say they're going to go through it and do it, but we'll see. That'll take time and a lot of money. Another gentleman, like I said, saw in the paper, we're 10th in Maine. We've got at Heaven Hill, we've got an exciting project because it's actually being finished, and it'll be done in October. So it's not we think it's going to go in. It's going to go in. It's a micro distillery and a visitor center at about between 5th and 6th of Main, right across the street from the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts. And it's a block away from where Evan Williams first distilled in 1783, so it's pretty exciting. So we're very, very excited about that, and that'll be something you can definitely walk up to, open the door, and go in. There's going to be a 5-story, upside-down Evan Williams bottle. Wow. That is you can see on the facade of the building, and inside a real 5-story bottle that'll be pouring into the fountain inside the building. So that's wow. That's we got the bat a couple blocks down the street. So the five-story bottle.
Bat on one side of the street, bottle on the other.
They're both on the same side of the street, but it'd be really, really cool, and I think people are really excited about that. You know, we have the Bourbon Heritage Center in Bardstown where we house most of all of our bourbon, and we bottle our bourbon, and that's our headquarters basically, and we get over 100,000 visitors there a year, and that's when people have to drive an hour from Louisville. What happens when they're staying right downtown in Louisville? And how many people are going to, most people do stay in Louisville and fly into it. It's a little cheaper to fly into Louisville than Lexington or Northern Kentucky. So we think there's going to be way more than 100,000 people that first year. So it's really exciting. And then put in at the Urban Bourbon Trail with all the bars and restaurants that carry 50 bourbons or more on that program. Folks like Proof. You've got St. Charles Exchange. You've got the Marriott. You've got the Sealback Bar. You've got the Brown. And there's like almost 30 accounts that have over 50 bourbons on their back bar all around, peppered around there. And then little places like Sidebar that just opened up that's a really bourbon-centric and all these, it's the really good thing about it too, Rick, is we don't just talk the talk here in Kentucky and in Louisville and all over Kentucky. We walk the walk. Bourbon is the number one selling spirit in the state of Kentucky. Most states, vodka is the number one seller.
Right.
So we walk the walk and talk the talk. I was in the back door last night in a little bar behind my place called Cahoots, and young men and young women are drinking bourbon.
Well, why? That sort of strikes me. I've been around a long time. You have to. The talk about bourbon, and are more people drinking it, or is it just being publicized better?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, both. We never really had the budgets to publicize it too much, and now because it's selling so well.
It seems like every bar you go into, there's 50 brands that you got to choose from, and sure. They have I know I've been to Bourbon's Bar, and that's all about
Bourbon's Bistro was kind of led the charge on that, the whole deal. When you go to Napa Valley, you can get a lot of wine, and the city of Louisville and the state of Kentucky and different distillers looked at that and made that the model. We call the bourbon distilleries Napa Valley's big brother.
Right.
Because we're high proof spirits, not just wine. But you've got to, and it, just one place on Main Street doesn't make an attraction. We think that the Evan Williams visitor experience it'll be the hallmark. But if a couple smaller little places come around there, it'll be better for everybody because then the people will have something that they can bounce around and go to and learn it, just like the Bourbon Trail did with all the different distilleries. And then there's little craft distilleries that are on it too. So, on the Bourbon Trail and off the Bourbon Trail, other distilleries as well.
So. Right. So it's really exploding here in town, and it's amazing to me. But of course, I want to ask you about your job. You travel a lot, I guess, and I'm just curious how much you travel and what kind of things do people? What's the top question people ask about bourbon outside of here?
Sure. Well. I travel 3 weeks a month, basically, not 7 days of the week of all that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I travel 4 weeks a month. That's way over 100,000 miles a year, just within the United States. And Heaven Hill will have me going to Canada and to Europe as well. So bourbon isn't just a national thing. It is big in Germany and Russia and France and the UK. Who knows what the Renaissance started? It was all just today as we're recording this, Elmer T. Lee passed away over at Buffalo Trace, and he crafted the first and invented a new genre of single barrel bourbon. And he made the first one in Blanton's. 2 years later, Parker Beam came out with another single barrel with a Evan Williams single barrel, and the first small batch, Elijah Craig. So, and then Booker No a year later, and then Jimmy Russell with his. Kentucky Spirit. Those gentlemen have to be credited with the Renaissance, and Bill Samuels Jr. for Maker's Mark, making it fun and kind of quirky and eccentric and all that kind of stuff. And then passionate people like the Shapiro family here at Heaven Hill, who really have been in the business since 1934 and understand it. And then, Jim Beam building their new visitor center and us building a visitor center out in Bardstown. And then Mad Men on television and Boardwalk Empire and then the Moonshiners and all that kind of stuff.
Man, a lot about Bernie.
It's how did it happen? And it wasn't one thing.
It's amazing. All right, we got to wrap it up. I'm going to ask you one question you probably hear all the time is what is the best way to drink bourbon?
The way you like it. So, you know, we don't have any rules. We're not like the Scotch people mm-hmm. where you can only add a little drop of water, or you can't use ice, or you can never mix it. You know, mm-hmm. find the way you like it and know why you like it that way. So, you know, ginger ale is a great way to enjoy it if you like to mix it with a soda, something like that. You know, I like it on the rocks. I like it with a little splash of water. Sometimes I drink it neat. But one of my favorite drinks that we call is bourbon bitters and ginger ale. You know, it's an old horse's neck kind of thing, or kind of a twist on the Presbyterian, things like that.
But, yeah. Boy, I wish we had time, because that's the one story I remember about your presentation was about how the Manhattan got its name.
Sure.
It was tied to, we won't tell the whole story, but it was tied to an election, right?
Yeah, 1876, Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel L. Tilden. Yeah. And so, you know, there's great stories about it and how the highball came about with train travel and all that kind of stuff. So great stories in bourbon.
What a wealth of history. Bernie, I appreciate you spending time with me on the Rusty Satellite Show. And
not the rest off that stuff, man.
And we'll, I just wonder why I'm here in the Heaven Hill boardroom and I don't have a whiskey in front of me. So
there's bottles right up there. You just got to look up.
But it's a lot of fun talking to you. And I hope that that our audience gets a chance to look you up online and certainly see your Bourbon History Show. And enjoy this great renaissance of bourbon in Kentucky.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
All right, and that will put another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show in the books. So we're very excited about that. We want to hope you tell your friends about it, have them download it. And I want to give a special thank you to Steve Fader of Catholic Sports Network and to Bernie Lovers, the Whiskey Professor, for appearing on the Rusty Satellite Show. There are no prizes involved for those guys. So that'll do it. This is Rick Redding, your host. We will be back next Thursday with a brand new edition of the Rusty Satellite Show.